Damn it. You may or you may not be.
Yeah, I may not be it. I'm on the latter side of that. But that doesn't mean Relief Factor can't work for me.
It is working.
Yeah,
it is working, man. You know, I don't like drugs. I say no to drugs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that not Relief Factor.
No,
it's not really a
100%.
Drug. It's just it'll do you good.
Yeah, good stuff.
All right, so
they may need some at Tennessee though. University of Tennessee. Jones on the phone.
Yeah, one second. Hold on. Wait. We got a couple of versions of Jones on the phones. We'll get to Brian's
cool,
Jones on the phone.
Because I was actually working the phone.
Right. So he was working the phone. Now we want you to work the phone.
Yes.
This is the segment here that we do every week where we open up the lines for your college football phone calls. Anything you want concerning your favorite team, questions you have for Brian, also the big stories in college football, who should be number one right now, who's the best team in the country, Clemson, Alabama, Ed Orgeron, is he already heading towards the door, Tennessee, we will talk about in a second. All of that is for you right now at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We cleared the lines to make them wide open right now, so chances are if you dial, you're going to get through. We'll load them up with the college football phone calls. And Brian will answer your questions. Okay, so that's one part of the Jones on the phones.
Yeah.
The second part of the Jones on the phones involves Tennessee. And what did you find out?
Oh, man, I think he's definitely lost a fan base. And I believe he's definitely lost, at this point, former players. They're highly upset. They want to change. And they want to change now, both contingencies. And the name that is popping up is T. Martin, former Vols quarterback. National champion quarterback under Phil Fulmer when they knocked off Florida State, first BCS title game, and he's current offensive coordinator for USC, which lost this past weekend. I thought Washington State would defeat them up there in the Palouse, and they did exactly that. Sam Darnold, his worst day as a USC starting quarterback. But T. Martin is the name that is being mentioned right now, and it's going to be a tough climb for Butch Jones and his staff to pull this team out of the doldrums where they currently sit. Going into that game 3-1, but they didn't feel like they were 3-1 because they have struggled all season long. And last weekend, just the worst thing that could have happened to that staff, to that program. And he has to win out to save his bacon.
Yeah.
That's the word I'm getting.
And he won't, and he's done. And there's sometimes that guys are just finished. I think there's a better chance of him being fired before the season's over than there is him winning out. That's for sure. So,
yeah. How ugly can that game versus Alabama? How ugly will that one get? They may double what Georgia did.
Oh, man, and after that game, that might be it, because it's just not. And I don't always think that it's a good idea to move away from a coach mid-season, because you're still the guy you're going to hire. More often than not, is not going to be someone from within. Now, we've seen it happen. I know that Bill Stewart, West Virginia, he's the interim coach, goes and wins a bowl game, and they hire him. I know that it's not totally out of the question, but chances are that the guy who is going to take over at Tennessee next is not going to be on that staff, and it puts yourself at a tough spot. What if the new guy wins a bunch of games, and then you have to make the tough decision, and you might as well just finish out the season with Butch Jones and what he's doing. But you lose 41-0. On national television, and then after that, you still have Alabama on the schedule, which, as you said, they may call the game at half. I mean, they might just white flag waving.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I don't know. You get so embarrassed, people are so upset. You come into this year, the expectation has been so high year after year.
Yep.
You come into it with him on the hot seat. If he gets blown out again in embarrassing fashion, you might just pull the trigger at that point. Bad choice of words today. I apologize. You might just move on from him at that point, and then and just start the process right there.
Bye week this week. They needed it. And then you have South Carolina that comes there to Neyland Stadium. You go to Alabama. You go to Kentucky. Kentucky is playing pretty well, though they lost to Florida for the 31st time 2 weeks ago. Should have won that ball game. Southern Miss at Missouri, should win that. Everyone's beating up on Missouri. That team has tanked. LSU, well, you know what you're seeing from LSU currently. And Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt could beat them. They rebounded, even though they lost to Florida. Didn't look like there were any residual effects of that beatdown they took from Alabama. So he needs to win out, and I'm looking at possibly three losses here. So, you know, you'll end up, 7-6?
Yeah, and that's not going to cut it.
No.
Grab a line
now. That's bad math because they're sitting at 3-2 now. So that would be 7-5. Yeah, that's not going to cut it. You're correct.
Grab a line right now at 855-212-4CBS as we talk some college football. This is your opportunity to ask whatever you want about your team, questions, concerns. You want to gloat this morning after a weekend of college football.
Who's gloating, man?
A lot of people can gloat. Georgia fans could gloat this morning. Alabama fans could gloat. Clemson fans.
They beat Ole Miss. They expected to beat Ole Miss.
But they could be, well, they could be upset that people are talking about Clemson being better than that.
Troy fans should be gloating. Troy, Alabama fans.
Are there Troy fans or is it just family?
It's like they had a bunch of DeMarcus Wares out there, man. Yeah. That's his alma mater. Yeah, they're Troy fans. They should be gloating this morning.
I mean, how do you become a Troy fan unless you went there?
That's it.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Unless you hate LSU.
Yeah.
So LSU will lose to two teams from Alabama this year. No, three. They'll lose to Auburn. They'll lose to Alabama.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, your calls in just a second. Load them up. But we love Angry Nick Saban.
Don't we?
And Angry Nick Saban seems to pop up all the time. And Confused I Can't Hear You Nick Saban is also a guy that we like. So let's listen to him. So you're gonna hear the reporter first, and then the exchange starts from there.
Was it good to see the second, third team guy, the backups come in and do put up 28 points once they came in? I mean, just was it good to kind of see that group kind of exert themselves a little bit?
You know, I don't know if I'm going deaf or you guys need to talk in the microphone. Why do we give them a microphone if they hold it down here?
It's like the second team offense.
Yeah.
You see from them, they put up 28 points.
Well, we're glad that they had an opportunity to play, and we'll evaluate the execution of how they did.
You know, the irony of that is the second time I couldn't hear
right.
The first time you could.
How about coaching them up on microphone protocol?
Yeah.
You hold the mic like this, okay?
Yeah, seriously.
You block and tackle like this. Love him.
Yeah.
Love him.
Any little snippet of Nick Saban in that type of mode, we're going to play him.
Yeah, and in that ball game, you talk about the snowball effect. You have opportunities, Ole Miss, to make plays. Shea Patterson overshoots a wide receiver, a wide open wide receiver. It's 6 points on the board. Ole Miss defense, you have a chance to get a pick. They're at your goal line against the team that hasn't turned the ball over at all since last year's Iron Bowl, and you can't make the play. Opportunity after opportunity missed by the Ole Miss Rebels, and you get what you had there, 66 points posted on you. Ah, that was ugly.
You mentioned the Washington State upset of USC and how Sam Darnold didn't play well. And for those that are not USC fans and might just be NFL fans, what they're going to take out of that game is going to be strictly about Sam Darnold and how poorly he played in the game. And it's just, I mean, it's not something that's going to derail him at all at this juncture because there's still football to be played. He still has the attributes that he has. He's still a young player. I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, everybody was all over Josh Allen has fallen out of the first three rounds after the way he started his season. Then he gets an inferior opponent, and he looks like a world beater again, you know, at Wyoming. So, you know, from week to week, you cannot overreact to Rosen, Darnold, and Allen, and then all of a sudden, well, that guy's the best, and this guy's the best, and that guy's the best.
I don't understand this playing it forward. Can't we just enjoy it in the moment? The last thing I'm sitting here as I watch these guys on a weekly basis is thinking about how they're going to translate that play to an NFL player. I don't care about that. I don't care who's going to be the number one overall pick at this point. We'll get to that. There'll be plenty of time to discern who is better, and Darnold may not even come out, so stop all of it. And plus, the Jets are 2-2, damn it. They're not going to be in play for Darnold. Maybe they won't. Maybe they will. Who cares at this point? But what hampered USC the other night, they had three starting linemen out, so that played a part in Sam Darnold running for his life. Hercules Mataafa on that defensive line for Washington State played extremely well, as his Chargers did. What's bothering folks about Darnold, why are you laughing at Mataafa?
No, it's just Hercules Mataafa.
That's a hell of a name right there. Hercules Mataafa.
Yeah.
What's bothering folks about Darnold, and not at the next level, just at this level, is the fact he's throwing a pick in each and every ball game, and he had that turnover there at the end of the ball game as pressure was applied to him once again. But he still had some dynamite throws in the game as well. Yeah, it's worth showing as an SC starter, but he had 4th and 13. He threw a dime and extended the drive, and so it's not all on him. And when you have three offensive linemen that are not playing, that's going to hurt any quarterback.
Open phones with Brian Jones right now at 855-212.
That just rolls off the tongue, right? Like Hercules, Marafa.
For CBS. This is what Brian Jones Open Phones is all about, a guy wanting to talk about San Diego State football. It's Alex in Boise. He's on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Alex? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
All right, man. You?
Oh, I'm not too bad, man.
Well, what do you got for us today?
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask Brian what he thought about the chances of SDSU running the table, maybe turning around for San Diego sports fan in general. I know, you know, the city as a whole, they're kind of down. So it'd be kind of nice to see if, you know, they run the table and make it to one of the New Year's Eve games.
Well,
get your thoughts on that.
They are a front runner, as is UCF currently. But San Diego State, of course, knocking off two Pac-12 teams, Arizona State and Stanford. And they, right now in the Mountain West, they're the team to beat. And Rashad Penny has picked up where Donnell Pumphrey left off, and he's a bigger back. And Pumphrey, I believe, is playing for the Eagles now. But this guy is a tremendous talent. Rocky Long always feels a stout defense, and he has another one this season. But this team is playing extremely well, and I think they are the bell cow in the Mountain West. There's no doubt they are currently.
How about UCF on Saturday, too, man? I mean, can you score more points?
Come on.
My goodness.
We talked to Scott Frost last week, and he has turned that program around. Go from winning no games to 6 a week ago to what they're doing thus far this season. Amazing.
Colin joins us next on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Colin? Good morning.
Hey, guys. Just can't stay away this morning. Of course, I work late hours from like 1 until 1 in the morning until like 11. I'm a bread man. I sell bread. So, anyways, Texas football. All right, Brian, this is all you, man. I know you digging them Longhorns. So, my question for you is, did Texas make the wrong decision when they started Buechel over Ellinger? Now, granted, I'm not a fan of somebody getting hurt and, you know, they lose their position. I think they need to have a chance to come back. And I'm not saying that he played bad, but the offense is stagnant. Now, is that a quarterback issue or is that an all-around team issue?
Colin, what type of bread?
Good morning.
Colin, what type of bread you selling? Yeah. Mrs. Bear's, Rainbow, Wonder Bread?
Oh, I sell I'm with Miss – well, it's Miss Baird's, but it's Bimbo.
Yes, you know, Bimbo.
Who?
I was hoping you'd say that Bimbo bread.
What is that?
It's not. It's Bimbo bread. Almost everything. It's spelled Bimbo, but there's a Bimbo bear.
Yeah, it's Bimbo.
Bimbo.
No, we never had that in Texas.
Yes, you did, man. What? I'm telling
yeah,
you.
No,
we had Mrs.
Like,
Baird's.
Like
they own Bimbo
like
owns it though.
La Mexicana or like a La Fiesta, like a Fiesta.
Oh,
or,
okay, yeah.
They own everything.
Yeah. Well, I've been in a La Fiesta maybe once. Okay, but it's sold there. But Mrs. Baird's is what I grew up with in West Texas. That's why
it's
foreign
to me. It's the best, man. We got about 500 Miss Baird's powdered donuts on the trailer now.
Oh, wow,
I
man.
Love
Why
Bimbo.
You do that?
Bimbo, I had a great relationship with Bimbo in Pittsburgh.
I love powdered donuts.
Do you have the Bimbo theme song there? Let me hear that.
I don't.
So they had that
This is right here. Can't talk over this.
Packed with goodness and baked with love. That's what Bimbo bread is made of.
Yeah.
Isn't it nice to know slice by slice that something nutritious can be so delicious too?
Wait, shh.
Say Bimbo, B-I-M-B-O, look for the Bimbo bear.
Yeah, there's a big...
So that was up here in the Northeast and in the La Fiesta stores down south.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard of that in my life.
We had their bread in studio season 1 of Geo and Jones.
No, we did not.
Yes, we did. They brought us in pastries and
so
bread.
So you grew up with that?
I didn't grow up with it. I mean, I grew up with like English muffins and stuff, which
from Bimbo.
Bimbo is the company. But in Pittsburgh, it became a huge thing, even with our show, because so Angel Cabrera, the golfer,
yeah.
So he has a Bimbo sponsorship that he wears, and we didn't really know what it was at the time. We're like, what? He's got Bimbo? What is Bimbo?
Yeah.
You know? So we laugh about it, and we find out it was Bimbo. We talk about Bimbo. Turns out they've got a huge factory in Pittsburgh.
Huh.
They show up with these Bimbo boxes for us with little bears filled with all sorts of bread. And then we turned our update anchor, Jim Colony, into the Jimbo Bear. We made him into a whole thing. It was great.
Oh, cool. You learn something every day.
Yeah,
how
man.
About that? And Mrs. Bear's, I was up on rainbow bread, all that, but not Bimbo. Now,
yeah, man.
I'm hip again because I know Bimbo. As far as Texas, Colin, offense, yeah, they what?
I'm kidding.
I don't know about who cares about Texas. Yeah. I care, damn it, because I believe they have K-State next, and their offense didn't look great, and that's being kind. They look stagnant at times. I thought Erlinger would get the start. He brings a little bit more athleticism to that offense, and you're going to need it, especially when you have three of your best blockers out, similar to SC. You lose your best offensive lineman and Connor Williams. Elijah Rodriguez is out, and you lose Andrew Beck, your tight end. So that running offense needs to get better. These offensive linemen up front, let's see if they can get a better handle on blocking at the point of attack. But it's going to be difficult considering the schedule that Texas has remaining and the big boys who are going to be coming there to Austin. K-State comes to Austin. Oklahoma State, that shootout they had there in Lubbock, that was a wild football game. So I'm concerned, and I think, like you, that Ellinger does give – Texas may be the better chance of moving the ball on that side because Shane Buechele, while he's not as athletic, he's not as stout either as this true freshman Ellinger. This guy is a walking mash unit, and I don't think he can take too many hits. Defensively, I'm still just stoked about this defense. They fly around. They rally to the ball. There's more than one hat on the ball. And this Elliott kid is having a phenomenal year. A couple of picks again in ball game the other night versus Iowa State. He had two in the SC ball game. So I like the way they're flying around. So defensively, happy. Still can improve on that side of the ball. Offensively, they're going to be challenged.
Coming up next, how about the freaking Buffalo Bills?
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew Bogish is with us, and he has an update. Good morning, Andrew.
Thanks, Randy. Thanks, Brian. Now that we know what withstain means, the Seahawks did it last night, fighting off those tripping Colts who took a 15-10 lead at halftime on Sunday Night Football in Seattle. The defense did its thing, and the offense introduced us to J.D. McKissic.
Waiting for the snap. Takes it, looks, has time, lays it up over the top. McKissic gets underneath and he makes the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks! McKissic for mayor!
Steve Rabel on Seahawks Radio. McKissic's TD reception closed out the 46-18 final. His 30-yard scoring run in the third put Seattle ahead for good. He was on the field, though, because rookie running back Chris Carson suffered a nasty left ankle injury. In the fourth quarter. Still winless this morning are the Giants.
Snap is spot. Kick on its way, and it's good. It is good inside the left upright. The Giants were offside, but it doesn't matter.
So they're 0-4.
Bob, you can't do that, man. The Giant fan that's in the car. I know, I saw the kick.
And I was that guy.
And it looked like it was going to be no good wide left, and then it hooked a little bit right, but you just wait for the call. Do you have to give the no? Because everybody's like, yeah, and then good. That just kills the listener.
34-yard kick from Nick Folk. Had it been 38 or 39, it probably would have faded left and been no good. But the Bucs win 25-23. Also 0-4, the 49ers.
Clock is running, 38 seconds and counting. Back to throw goes Palmer. Looks over the middle, throws end zone for Fitz. Goes up and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again. Touchdown, Cardinals win.
Dave Pash on Cardinals Radio. Arizona,
that guy's incredible.
Down who, Pash?
Yeah, no. Larry Legend.
Oh, gotcha.
Bird. Arizona down San Francisco 18-15 in overtime after the Niners started extra time with a 7-minute, 37-second drive, which ended with a 23-yard field goal from Robbie Gould. The Broncos fought off the Raiders 16-10. Oakland QB Derek Carr could not finish the game because of back issues, but should be okay moving forward. The Texans smacked the Titans 57-14. Deshaun Watson threw four touchdowns, ran for a fifth. The Bills up into the Falcons 23-17. The Panthers surprised the Patriots in Foxborough 33-30. The Rams topped the Cowboys 35-30. Pittsburgh a 26-9 win in Baltimore. And the Jets outlasted the Jaguars 23-20 in overtime, which improves gangrene too.
Right now we're 0-0. We're at 500 right now. We won 2. We lost 2.
You got to pick one, Todd Bowles.
Hey, well, I mean, still, 0-0, 2-2 is the same thing, really, because you're 500. You win as many games as you lose as many games as you win. But we did play games, so I guess 0-0 a little misleading. But anyway, I'd like to take
tame the wild cosmos with a whisper.
I'd like to take this time to sing a song. Sitting on the dock of the bay. Watching the tide roll away. Any more questions?
Clemson once again picking up some first place votes in the AP College Football Poll. 17 this week.
Come on,
that's
give them all
nine more than last week after a win at Va Tech. But Alabama remains number one. Ohio State, Penn State, and Georgia round out the top five. The Washington Nationals unsure when Max Scherzer will start against the Cubs in their division series, but at least MRI yesterday showed only a hamstring tweak. Game one is in D.C. Friday night. And, of course, Kurt or Kyle Busch won at Dover as NASCAR's postseason continued. One of them, Brian, picked on Friday.
I picked two.
There are now.
I picked two. Kyle Busch was one of them.
And he did win. And he's one of the 12 drivers still left in contention.
So make some money on this, then, if you're so good at it.
No, I'm done with NASCAR, man. Their owners piss me off.
Isn't he making money when he reads those things where he can't say NASCAR in them, but he picks the winners? He picks eight of them and gets one right, and he thinks he's a genius?
No, I'm done with him.
Okay.
No, done with him, man. There's no compensation for those, I don't believe.
Done with the free stuff, man. Putting my foot down.
Good for
you.
Done
with NASCAR. Richard Childress, Richard Petty ruined it.
Really?
Yeah.
Just a real take from you.
I said it Friday.
Yeah, you missed it last week.
It's okay. Yeah, and Bogus, as he always does, he educated me on this radio stuff and reading spots.
Yeah, he went right from the read into this.
Yeah.
I told him to just
bring your Confederate flag, but I'd be damned if you disrespect that American flag. But Confederate flags, you can wave them freely here.
So no more racing, even as much as you love it.
Okay, I may sneak a peek in every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pause, right, Bogus? Pause,
take
right?
Take a beat after the read,
and then you can dive on in with your criticism. Wouldn't want the sponsor who doesn't pay you a damn thing
This also doesn't help.
Thanks, Brian.
Upset,
so now we know what withstand means.
Advance that.
Oh, boy. You done? Or is there something
Maybe.
No, I'm done. Is Brian done?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You may... or you may not get paid for this read. Yeah. Did you say Ohio State in the top 10? Or you say they round out the top 10 or in the top 5 or something?
The top 5.
Ohio State's not in the top 5.
Who? Oklahoma, excuse me.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, okay. I think, OU beat
different
Ohio State. Yeah, okay. You may go now.
Wow.
You will not be compensated for that.
Actually, you know what?
Nice.
I like this.
Hey, yeah, I miss you, Greg.
Get your hand off my leg.
This is cool.
It's Gio and Eyes and Teeth here on CBS Sports Radio. It's pitch black in here, man.
Can you see me now?
Yeah, I can. Yeah. Okay, just keep your mouth open. I'll know exactly where you are.
Let me open my eyes. Oh, I missed you. Can't stand your ass.
I can't see the run, though. This is great. It makes me feel so much better when there are lights on in here. Okay.
You're terrible.
Smooth transition.
We're never going to get past this racial thing. I'm telling you, man.
No.
Never, ever.
No. Well, not in our lifetime. All right, so the Buffalo Bills, I don't want to make this all about the Atlanta Falcons, because to go on the road in any sort of circumstance against one of the best teams in football and to actually win that game, despite the adversity that the Falcons faced in the game, that's a great win for them, because they don't have a lot on that offense. I mean, think about outside of Shady McCoy, Tyrod Taylor is what he is, but it's not like they've got a ton of weapons on that team. And Charles Clay is basically their number one wide receiver at the tight end position.
Yep.
And Shady, when you know that, Shady's always going to be someone you're going to stack the box against and try to shut him down. He still got his yesterday. But really where the game turned was when Julio Jones didn't come back in and Mohamed Sanu didn't come back in. And both of them left with an injury. And you saw the Atlanta Falcons offense get completely muted. Now, of course, the Bills defense, you tip of the cap to them for sure. But
right.
this in that dome, without Jones, without Sanu, they're trying to figure out their identity. It did not happen. I also think that they got a break, too, the Buffalo Bills, on the Matt Ryan sack fumble that I thought should have been ruled an incomplete pass.
Mm-mm. That was a fumble, man. Come on.
But he had,
no
he still,
rule here.
He still had the grip on it, and he still threw
Jerry
it forward,
Hughes
though.
Hit him, and he throws it forward, and his arm goes for it, ball's out, and Tre'Davious White.
But you just said he threw it forward.
No, his arm. He threw his arm for it, but the ball was out before he threw his arm for it.
No, it
I'm
wasn't.
Going with the defense.
He still had, he still had his, arm, his defense, hand on it.
The defense forced the fumble there. Jerry Hughes, TCU misses you, Louisville misses you. No, just TCU. You didn't get in trouble.
Bad call. Guy.
And then Tre'Davious White, as you're supposed to do, you play until you hear a whistle. He didn't hear a whistle, and he picks it up and takes it in for the score. That defense forced three turnovers, couple picks by Matt Ryan. Micah Hyde got both picks in the ballgame, former Green Bay Packer. And it was that defense was just stout, but it helps when you lose your biggest playmaker and Julio Jones, and then you lose another wide receiver in Sanu. So that definitely helped the cause of Buffalo, but to see LeSean McCoy just go off and act like it was the world against the Bills in the post-game comments, shut up. You big hypocrite. You know, 1 minute you're not kneeling, the next minute you are kneeling. You were against it before you were for it. Shut up and just play.
Yeah, he's disappointed.
He's one of my
me.
Least favorite players now.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely changed. Yeah, when you say least favorite players now, you're right. I've changed my opinion on him over the last few weeks. It doesn't seem like he knows exactly what he's doing.
He has no idea what he's doing or what he's saying.
Yeah, I would be fired up after that win too, though. If
Fine.
I was on the Bills.
Yeah,
I would definitely.
Yeah,
be
you
fired
definitely
up.
You go on the road and here's a team that played in the Super Bowl a season ago, and maybe there are a lot of people. Not maybe there were a lot of teams that are people who followed the game didn't think you could go in there and pull out a victory. You did. Enjoy it and shut up.
The AFC East right now is upside down. You've got
right.
The Buffalo Bills at the top of the division. The Jets also there at two wins apiece. And then you have, of course, the New England Patriots there as well. But then the Miami Dolphins, and we'll talk about the Jets and the Dolphins here for a second. One good, one bad. That London game was as disgusting of a first half and really was the whole game.
Yeah.
But truly, the first half, that was the, out of any Thursday night game, any game that I've watched in years, that was the worst football game, the worst half of football I have seen in years.
What is it about London? We saw it last week, 44-7, 44-9.
But at least you had one team play well.
Yeah.
In this one, it was penalty after penalty. And Jay Cutler, I don't know if you saw this. They
yes.
do one of these, you know, whatever, for lack of a better term, wildcat
right.
formations. Cutler goes out, lines up as a wide receiver, doesn't sell his role at all in this thing, puts his hands on his hips and doesn't move. Now, I know that he's not going to be a part of the play. You don't want to get hurt, but at least try. Because you know what your body language shows right there?
Yeah.
Your body language shows that you don't want to be there or you don't agree with the play call. And nothing good is what it shows in that. Just at least line up and try. Don't stand there and loiter as you're lining up for the wide receiver.
That's the nonchalant Jay Cutler we've come to love, right?
Yeah,
We've seen that body behavior, body
on
demeanor
the sideline,
before.
Maybe.
But here's the deal. When you get in a wildcat, first of all, we know you can take the pass out of the equation. You've already signaled that to the defense. So we know you're not going to pass the ball. But there may be a wrinkle you add later where you put Jay out there and you throw it to him because no one expects him to get it. How about that? So maybe he was setting the defense's down the line, down the road. He was setting them up for him to be out there and for them to think that he's not going to get the rock. No, you ain't buying it?
No, not whatsoever. No. You made me think for a split second, but no.
That's his demeanor. You're right. Come on, man. At least look like you're engaged and you want to be out there, even though the ball's not going to you. But that team, back-to-back losses by the Dolphins, not a good look at all from that particular play until their performance. I don't know what it is about this team. And you know, you leave New York. I don't believe they went back down to Miami. I would have gone straight over to London, spend the week over there. Or if you go home just for a couple of days and then get over to London a couple of days earlier than you usually would on a game you have to travel for. So I don't know why they looked disinterested in this one.
Yeah, and that Dolphins offense is just so bad. They look good against the Chargers. They went out there early. It was Cutler's first start. I was like, well, they might have something here. And no. I mean, they and that Saints defense is exactly a bunch of world beaters either.
Right.
It's just pathetic. We found the Shady McCoy stuff from after the game that you referenced. So let's listen to a little bit of him after the Bills go into Atlanta and get a W.
Y'all want to talk to the winners, right? All right, come on. We all around. We supposed to lose today. But we won, so come talk to the winners. Yeah, in Atlanta.
They got you a Molly Percocet.
Yeah.
Rocking in the back.
I would be fired up, too. I mean, as much as I'd love to just say, well, yeah, the only reason you won is because they had two huge injuries in the game, and that's why that offense wasn't any good for Atlanta. I would be, if I was a member of that Bills team, I would going in there. It's true. Nobody gave me a shot.
No, that's just true. You're right. No one gave you a shot, but it's not like we're in a playoff game. It's early in the season, and yes, I understand it's the latest the Bills has sat atop of the AFC East since, 2007, 2008, and I believe they started the season 5-1 that year. I understand that, Shady, but pump your brakes. Chill out. You probably had some doubt in your mind going into Atlanta, taking on that potent offense, but you got the victory. Relax, because it'll come back and bite you in the ass.
Coming up next, the Jets are going to the playoffs and the Vikings have the worst luck in sports. We're coming right back.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Feeling like some music from way back.
So let's play that.
Okay,
fine. Why does it have to be anything else? I mean, every radio show has got one of these lame-ass
things. All right, well, we don't want to be lame.
Flashback Friday, Throwback Thursday.
Hey, today we feeling
Man like Crush Monday.
Jay Cutler
Twitter
in the
Tuesday.
Wildcat. So let's get
blip,
all blip, melancholy.
Blip, 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 blip. Today's blip, blip, blip day. Shut up. I mean, it's a level one type stuff.
Oh, damn.
You know?
We're above that. What level are we?
We should be.
What level are we?
Above one.
We're level 1.1.
Yeah, it's still above one. We're not doing Music Monday. Yeah.
Ooh, it's going to be a doozy.
Oh, damn. Yeah, you're right. You win. That's all you had to do.
Told you.
That's it.
All right, just give me a second here on the Vikings, and let me try to explain to you.
I'm going to let you handle this one.
So, remember when we first started and you're, why are you so negative on the Vikings? Why are you
first
so negative?
I don't talk like that.
And I said, well, just because you probably haven't paid attention to him as much as I have. And my wife said the same thing to me. She said, I can't believe that you are as down on the team that you have rooted for your whole life as you are. Now, she grew up a Steeler fan, and then she saw that missed field goal by Blair Walsh in that playoff game against the Seahawks, and she goes, okay, now I get it. And I hope to hear from you, okay, now I get it. Now, I'm not even going to go back to the 98 NFC Championship game, the 2000 NFC Championship game, the 2009 NFC Championship game, the four lost Super Bowls. I'm not even going to go into that. I'll just go in recent memory. You draft Teddy Bridgewater. He puts together a season. Looks like a guy, homegrown, I'll say homegrown because you drafted him, a guy who could be a quarterback there for the next decade or more, as well as he plays. Comes back the next season, high expectations. Has one of the worst knee injuries that any quarterback has suffered since Dante Culpepper, I guess, of the Minnesota Vikings. Hasn't come back since. We're talking about a season and a half you haven't seen him play football. Okay, you go out and you get Sam Bradford. Then, what happens last year? Norv Turner, in the first time that I think I could ever remember, as this team is 5-0 and rolling, decides after halfway through the season to quit, to retire. I'm just going to quit being the offensive coordinator. The season falls apart. Mike Zimmer loses an eye, and then that's that. So then you come back the next year. Sam Bradford, now you got Pat Shurmur there. Bradford and Shurmur are just together. It's harmony. Sam Bradford plays the greatest game that he's played in his lifetime. Hasn't played since. after that game. Gets through that game. I mean, he's zinging passes on Monday Night Football. Gruden's talking about zoom, 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 perfect passes. He hasn't played since. He didn't even get injured in the game. We haven't seen him since. All right, so you got Case Keenum play a couple of games. Looks bad in one, good in one, bad in another. But what do the Vikings have? They've got a good defense, and they drafted a kid who is a potential superstar in Dalvin Cook, who is just a huge part of the offense. He's explosive. He's good. He's going to be there and be a star for a long time. And he blows his knee out yesterday in a non-contact injury. It looks terrible. Hasn't been confirmed yet, but it's going to be a torn ACL. Whatever the worst-case scenario is, it will be, because it always is with that football team. It's just the worst luck ever. It's just insufferable.
And your point is what?
That you need to accept the fact that the team sucks, and it's okay for me to be negative about it.
Who did they harm? So they must have harmed someone way back when. Is this karma, Greg?
Oh, stop.
Can we get to the source of the issue?
Maybe it was favorite team? The Lake Minnetonka people. Maybe that's why they're still paying for that. The sex boat.
Hey, that was...
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was.
I feel for you. Yeah, you have really shed a light on this Minnesota misery. Oh, damn. Alliteration again. My bad. But every time, exactly, every time something happens to this team, I can't help but think of you and feel sorry and feel your pain somewhat. You're right. This Dalvin Cook, he slides to the second round. Should have been a first round pick. Has superstar talent. And he goes down on an untouched, normal running play and fumbles the ball to compound the situation. And now you look at this Vikings team that came out of the gates looking great versus New Orleans. And now they, even though they've won a couple ball games, they just keep having situations where they lose quality football players, and you just can't put your finger on it. And it's like your other club, the Mets. The manner in which these guys get hurt, you sit there and you're scratching your head like, what the hell is going on? Because you don't see these little freakish injuries. And Bridgewater just stepping the wrong way. No one's at his feet. Nothing.
You think about this. I mean, and then you bring up the Mets, too. I mean, the Mets injury situation is worse than the Vikings.
A guy's doing what he's supposed to do, swing the bat.
Foul balls off faces, swinging. I mean, it's as pathetic as anything. And when people ask me, how come you're not as passionate about your teams as you used to be? Well, I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it. I mean, first off, when you get older, your priorities change with stuff. I think that when you get into this business, your focus changes as well, because you got to pay attention to a lot more stuff. But also, they all suck. Well, every one of them. It's horrible. And I know the Mets went to the World Series a couple years ago, but still, I mean, you got the Knicks, the Vikings, and the Mets. I mean,
wow, the trifecta.
Yeah. Trifecta hashtag. Thursday.
There you go, hashtag. I think for you and those who root for those teams, you just tune in to see what's going to happen next. You don't tune in to see a win. You just, okay, who's going down next, and how are they going to go down? That you know injuries are part of the deal, especially when we're talking NFL. So it's now, okay, how will they get injured? That's the key. How can this, you know, outdo the last guy getting hurt? I mean, you had Bridgewater doing his thing. Now Dalvin Cook. Okay, there's got to be some freakish accident that's going to take place. That's what you're watching for.
Yeah. Well,
I feel for you, man.
Well, it's okay. I'm already over it.
Well, I don't feel for you, man.
But
take
it's
it back.
It's a pathetic.
It is.
So
bad, man. I pour out a little liquor. I mean,
pour out a little liquor for Dalvin Cook. No, but I mean, it's also, you think about players. Like, the Mets have a ton of money going into this offseason, right? They should. Like, $70 million coming off the books.
They have... They're
who
over
the
Bernie
hell,
Madoff.
Who the hell, if they end up spending it, who's going to want to go there and play? If the money's even somewhere comparable, I mean, it's like going to... It's like there's a voodoo doll out there.
Well,
you get drafted by the Vikings, you're thinking, like, all right, how long is it until I completely fall apart?
Well, bring in someone to get rid of the exorcists. I mean, there's got to be somebody.
Wait, get rid of the what?
Exorcist.
The exorcist?
You have an exorcist.
Well, you get an exorcist. You don't get rid of the exorcist.
No, you get rid of it. You're afflicted by one currently, right?
No, I thought an exorcist is the person that comes in and gets rid of the demons.
Okay, well, bring in an exorcist then, damn it.
Right, okay.
Whatever it is.
If you get rid of the exorcist, it means that the demon one.
Well, You already have demons,
yeah,
or some sort. So bring in someone to exercise the demons. That's right. You're correct. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Okay.
Thank you. I missed you. Bring someone in to exercise the demons.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that right? Are you the person for that?
No, I'm not the person for that. No, I would be
the creepy clown in the clown movie.
Absolutely, the last person to do that. No, you got it. You got to swing it around. Maybe Hugh Freeze. He's a religious guy.
Yeah.
Bring him in.
He
get
would
all
work.
Get all the demons out of there.
Hmm. Yeah. Maybe Rick Pitino.
No. No, it probably wouldn't be the guy.
Mm.
Probably wouldn't be the guy to do it. It's just
very large mistake.
It's just, you think about the Super Bowl is going to be in that building too, and then they'll bring up the team and how disgusting things were this year during the Super Bowl.
Now the teams that play in the Super Bowl there, will they like, nah, can we change venues?
No,
because it doesn't affect the other teams.
It doesn't affect them.
Just you guys.
Yeah, just them. And it's great stories. I mean, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, great. I mean, they're great stories. Defense, Xavier Rhodes, one of the best corners in football. There's great stories there, but they will never get over the hump. I mean, just last year, and I hate to bring this up because it was a rough time for him. He's still dealing with it. But, I mean, Mike Zimmer with the eye patch last year was that should be the new mascot for the Vikings, is the coach with an eye patch on because it's just perfect. I mean, how many times have you seen that? Only there. He would have gotten another job. The guy would have had hawk eyes. But because he went to the Vikings, he lost one. I mean, so it's just one of those things that's never going to change. So, yeah.
Well,
your dad's still a Vikings fan, Pete? See, he'd give up, too.
Hanging on.
You tell him to give up. And he got into it because of the Purple People Eaters, right?
Oh, they were great. You would have loved them, G.
Yeah, well, all the four Super Bowls they lost.
You would have loved Chuck Foreman, man.
Yeah, hit and spin. I got a Mitchell and Ness, number 44.
You know what, Vikings fans? Don't keep hope alive.
There it is, finally. I got him to turn, ladies and gentlemen.
You brought me.
I got him to turn. All right, coming up next, after I vented about my team, it's time for Brian to vent about his team.
Ah!
As the Dallas Cowboys defense looking like the poo-poo. Gio and Jones, coming right back, CBS Sports Radio.